welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin AC, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune on Echo Park. Hey, Jay, wave to me because I can see the San Diego Union Tribune building. It's Jay Posner, my boss. He's at the Union Tribune building.
Kevin, if I wave now, you wouldn't see me because I'm in this windowless studio. Actually, it does have a window, but it faces the Symphony Towers building. So I cannot see you right now, but it is a beautiful day here. The May gray is gone. There's no June gloom, and the And speaking of no gloom, the Padres had a winning record. And did you know this? They have the longest active winning streak in the National League right now. Three games. Only the Cleveland Indians in baseball are hotter than your San Diego Padres right now.
Jay, you sound like you have done some research and you have prepared for this podcast. So let's jump right into it. The Reds coming to town. Very excited. I always love to watch Joey Votto play. He's just one of the finest players in the game. And
he
the
has
Padres,
not been
as you
good,
mentioned,
though. Did you know he's having an off year?
Well, Jay, there's still a good two, three hits in this guy anytime that he comes to the park. I love watching this guy play.
Absolutely.
And much like Eric Hosmer, because I'm fascinated. You got me off track. You know how my brain works. Stop it, Jay. But Eric Hosmer, I'm fascinated, this guy. He basically is all about just like prepare. You're going to go through some bad streaks. And then Eric Hosmer, like now you're at the point where like he's one of those guys. Every time he comes to the plate, you're like, you know, I think this guy just might get on right here. Now, hasn't hit a home run in like a month, but every time he comes to the plate, he's going to get on. I just think that I've got an upcoming big story I've been working on how he is affecting everybody on this team. And it answers the question of, gosh, why did they get Eric Hosmer now? You know, when they're not going to be good for a while. Anyway, you got me off track, Jay. This team is hot as heck. And I'm curious, Mr. Positive, what did you take? We basically predicted it. We said 3 out of 4 from the Marlins.
Right. And now if they get 2 out of 3 from the Reds, then they get their 5-2, which we talked about. And then we said, what does it mean? Basically nothing.
Right.
I mean, they're playing the two teams in the league that have worse records than they do. The Reds, I think, are a half a game worse than the Marlins, only because the Reds were off yesterday. Several of the Reds were at the Padre game on Wednesday night. One of our guys saw Joey Votto and Billy Hamilton, and I thought that was very odd that baseball players would go to a baseball game on their night off, especially in San Diego, to watch the Padres and the Marlins. But
that's how dedicated the Reds are.
Apparently, it must be the Jim Riggleman. The Jim Riggleman effect is wearing off, and what they do need, though, is the Reds need some pitching because their staff is awful.
Which should help the Padres, who it does seem these young guys who are still going to be prone to bouts of looking lost because adjustments is what it's all about. It's really kind of amazing to watch a Franmil Reyes, a Franchi Cordero, a Christian Villanueva, but that should be good for these guys because they do seem to have sort of an aptitude, these three guys, and Franchi's on the disabled list for this game. I think that has been shown. I don't know what type of players they're going to be long-term, but I believe they've shown that they have an aptitude for this game.
Yeah, I think the negative for them this weekend is that Riggleman sent Homer Bailey to the bullpen, and he would have been the Sunday starter with his 6-point-something ERA. So instead they'll see Luis Castillo, who's at least that's what I would expect the way the rotation sets up. But a rookie tonight, so a battle of rookies. We can get to the Padre rookie in just a second. And then the Dark Knight will be here tomorrow. Matt Harvey will be pitching for the Reds tomorrow. So that's always interesting to see what he has left. And I just think this is another opportunity for the Padres to take advantage of the schedule, get a couple wins, and then see what happens when the Braves come in next week. But please tell us about the Padres starter tonight that we did not expect maybe to see right at this moment in the season.
Andrew Walker Lockett. We'll just call him Walker. Walker Lockett. There's a guy they identified a month ago as somebody that would come up. They expected that it would be Brett Kennedy from AAA El Paso, but he's had an ankle thing. And I honestly couldn't tell you. I think it's like day to day as to when is he going to come back. I don't think he's back off the DL yet, but even if he were, he needs to pitch. And so it's not Brett Kennedy now. It will be at some point. So here's Walker Lockett, a guy who since before the 2016 season has been on the 40-man roster. And I've written about it. We've talked about it a lot. It's a lot of what this season's about. Oh, well, we're going to have a lot of guys we need to protect. We're going to have a lot of guys that we need to add because we're going to put them on the major league roster, and they have to be on the 40-man roster to be on the 25-man roster. So Walker Lockett is one of those guys. Hey, we got to find out what you got. Like, we think you're okay, but we need to see you against the major leaguers. This is not of the magnitude in my opinion, or in the Padres' opinion. And hey, it's up to Walker Lockett to show him that he can be Joey Lucchese, or, you know, I know that this is sort of a funny thing to say right now, but Eric Lauer, but this isn't of the magnitude of those. But here, it's funny. Andy Green's quote, we're going to give him an opportunity and see if he runs with it. Well, that's like the eighth time he said that this year about a young player. And so that is, I love it. That's what this season is all about. And that's why I like that they won 3 of 4. Not that I'm some sort of a Padres fan or that I root for them to do bad, but here I am chronicling about these opportunities and what this season's about. And so it was kind of cool to see what Christian Villanueva did in this series, what Fran Milreyes did in this series. And now, look, we'll see what Walker Lockett, and that's going to be one of my stories for tonight, is about the youth of this team. And they are, by many measures, the second youngest team in the majors after the team that just left here. What a coincidence that they both have terrible records.
Right. And I think it's interesting, as we've talked about before, to see these guys. And Lockett's facing a decent lineup. I mean, this is not the Marlins. You know, the Reds, some of their stats obviously are bolstered by the fact they play in the ballpark where they play, you know, kind of the Coors of the Midwest. But, you know, they do have three guys that have at least 10 home runs and more than 30 RBIs. And that none of those guys are named Joey Votto. So, you know, that's a pretty good lineup. Not like Miami. And let's see what Walker Lockett has. I'm curious. I'll be out there tonight. I'm interested to see him pitch. And you know, I saw Eric Lauer on Monday. That was not a terribly pleasant experience for anyone involved. But I think, you know, we want to see more of him. I want to see Lucchese come back. And as we've said many times, that's what this season is about. Let's see what these guys have. Maybe Walker Lockett surprises everyone. You know, he was highly regarded. I think he was a fourth round pick a few years ago. So somebody saw something in him, and let's see what he has.
Much like Eric Lauer, though he does throw a few ticks faster than Eric Lauer with the fastball, but has, you know, four pitches. And when he's on, it works. And when he's off, much like Eric Lauer, there were signals of this in the minor leagues. There's a lot of crooked numbers in certain innings, and that ruins then the pitching line. But when Walker Lockett is on, then he's on. And so, you know, again, I love this lineup by Andy just because it's become something that we hear all the time. We're going to give an opportunity and see if he runs with it. And you know what? We've seen some of the guys run with it. And then just when we think a guy is like, and what's happened with Christian Villanueva, Francie Cordero, Fran Milreyes, and we're like, is this experiment almost over? Boom, something clicks. And then we're at least hooked and we're intrigued for the next month. So, and
you mentioned Villanueva, and he is very intriguing. I mean, we talked about him a month ago at this time. He was coming off a great month. He was the NL Rookie of the Month, whatever that means, and whatever that's worth. Then the Padres went to Mexico, and it was like this guy had never played baseball before. I mean, he could not get a hit. But I think it's really impressive the way that he's battled back from that. And you know, he's end up now where the only guy in the league who has more home runs than him is Bryce Harper. And, you know, we talked off the air briefly. I mean, is Villanueva the type of guy that a month from now could be the guy named to the All-Star team for the Padres? And, you know, the National League has two really good third basemen in Nolan Arenado and Chris Bryant. Yeah. And at this point, right now, the number three spot is either Villanueva or Travis Shaw of Milwaukee. You figure the Brewers are going to have Josh Hader on the All-Star team no matter what. Padres have Brad Hand, who's been fantastic, but so maybe that won't come into play, and we'll see what happens. But if he can put together a June like he put together the second half of May, then Villanueva's got a chance to go to the All-Star game.
That's exactly it. And I think we're all resigned, right? Even what, 2 weeks ago, maybe even now, it would still be if someone, you know, forced you to make a prediction, it's Brad Hand, right? And that's kind of what we've become accustomed to in San Diego. The closer goes to the All-Star game.
right. Just because someone
has got 25 homers. Come the beginning of July, I think there's some pressure for someone to put him on this All-Star team.
No, I would agree. And I don't know what the magic number, I certainly 25 would do it. You know, even if he got to 22, something, something like that. So it's another thing to watch. I mean, I'm not a big all-star game, who gets there, who doesn't guy, and who got screwed and all that kind of stuff. But I do think it'll be another thing to watch. And also, you know, Villanueva's just, he's the kind of guy you want to get on the team so you can match him up against a left-hander in the All-Star game. I would love to see him face a guy like Aroldis Chapman or somebody like that and see what happens. So anyway, that's a ways off. And
there's two pitchers I want to talk about, and I want to do a little promotion of the Q&A that Jeff Sanders did with Phil Hughes, and we'll get to that. I got an answer from Phil Hughes that I think is very interesting about what he has left, and I think he's a pretty cool guy based on this answer. He's candid about where he's at. But first, Jordan Lyles. Hey, Jordan Lyles was like, he's another reclamation project, and I was fascinated by what he was able to do last night. Not only is he the anti-Brian Mitchell, right, where he went to the bullpen and he learned how to pitch, he looked like he was going to be done after four innings last night, and he completely, on a dime, turned around that start. I think that the Padres are actually thinking, this guy's our latest reclamation project. This guy could actually be pretty darn good. And I'm telling you, Jordan Lyles, who is like one of the most plain spoken, just, you know, no nonsense guys, he's got some tenacity to him that is rare among pitchers on this team outside of, you know, Clayton Richard and Tyson Ross.
Now, he's another guy that was highly thought of. I think he was a first round sandwich pick when he came out many years ago. Has never really put it together.
No.
The one thing, and let me ask you this, because I did look this up because I was curious. He's made five starts so far this year. Three of them have been at Petco, and he's been fantastic. 19 and a third, three earned runs. The other two starts came at Pittsburgh and L.A., 10 and a third, nine earned runs. He's given up four of his five home runs on the road. His next start will be here at Petco, I guess, what, against the Braves.
On Tuesday.
And then the Padres, which we'll talk about next week, go on this, you know, adventurous trip where they're just gone and gone and gone. And so he'll have to make several starts on the road. Am I right to be just a little bit cautious at this moment about Lyles and how, again, it's a small sample size in both directions, but is it a little bit cautionary that he hasn't pitched quite as well on the road?
I can't say no, but I will say this, that Pittsburgh game, it was the line looked terrible because
you did pitch well that day. You're right.
Mm-hmm. You and I talked in the middle of it. We texted in the middle of it where it's like, oh, Andy left him in too long again. And he had that bad last inning.
Right,
now that's
right.
Something that we could talk about is his penchant for giving up home runs. I would then pull that out and say, well, that kind of ruins the sample size right there. If I say that was actually a pretty good outing against a pretty decent, that Pirates lineup is decent. All right. And so, I would say no, but again, he gets to go. And if I play this out here, he's pitching in St. Louis and then probably the last game in Atlanta. So he's going to pitch twice on that trip, I think.
Which means then he'll miss the little two game homestand here and he'll be back on the road. I think it's probably San Francisco and maybe
we'll
even Texas
at the end of June
after that. So, I think it is something to watch. And you're right. The Pittsburgh game was pretty good up until the very end when maybe he did stay in just a little too long because he was kind of building up stamina at that point. So, but no, there's no question he's been impressive. And you know, maybe he is yet another guy that they've managed to turn around. And I don't know that he's worth anything on the trade market at this point. So maybe he's someone you hold on to.
Yeah.
Whereas a guy like Tyson Ross, you would think you'd get offers for Tyson Ross.
Plus, Jordan Lyles is 27 years old. And so, hey, you know, we're not talking about next year being the pennant chase. So next year, I don't think to this extent, but certainly it still will be, hey, we're trying to win a little more here, okay?
Right,
But still trying to find out about guys too. And so there you go. You know that you're going to, unless Jordan Lyles somehow goes, 12-2 here, you're going to be able to keep Jordan Lyles next year. Last thing, Jay, I want to set it up a little bit. Phil Hughes, okay, we've already talked about that the acquisition of Phil Hughes from the Minnesota Twins was really about getting that 74th pick and the $812,000 that came with it. That's the way that the Padres are looking toward the future. But they did give up whatever it was, all told, $7.5 million, maybe $8 million, counting that extra bonus pool money they'll have to commit to the draft picks. So there was an investment made here, and Phil Hughes, well, hey, what can they get from him? We have no idea. He pitched last night. He actually was pitching pretty well. And then his first time in 2 weeks, he's throwing, and then he got tired and he got smacked around. He couldn't even make it out of the ninth inning in a 5-run victory. But Jeff Sanders, who has a question, a Q&A, I believe it's online now. You're the boss, Jay. You can speak to that, but it's definitely in Sunday's paper.
It is online and will be in Sunday's paper.
Cool. Every week he has one of these, and this week it's with Phil Hughes. And there was a question in there and an answer that I want to play right now from Phil Hughes where Jeff asked him, so what do you got left?
I mean, that's the question, right? You know, we'll just have to find out. You know, I feel like, you know, sometimes these surgeries can just take time. You know, we've seen that with guys like Tyson Ross and Craig Richard here who have gone through it. You know, I'm hoping that I can take those baby steps along the way to get better from my past surgeries the last couple of years. And, you know, hopefully, you know, show some signs that, you know, I do still do have, you know, something left in the tank. And, you know, I feel like it's there. And it's, you know, maybe it just takes a little bit of extra time. But, you know, there's some qualities that I'll never lose, and you know, throwing strikes is one of them. So, you know, that's something that I can always build on, and know that I can go back to that if I need to.
All right, Jay, there's Phil Hughes. Just a little tease for the Sunday paper, because that's how we do it. We tease. Or you can go online, UnionTribune.com. Phil Hughes. The guy's pretty honest about where he's at, and why wouldn't he be? Coming back from thoracic outlet surgery, maybe taking a little longer than Tyson Ross. But I think it's about the same timeline, and it's totally worth kicking the tires on this guy.
Oh, I would agree, and I think, you know, you've got time to work it out. And he threw a couple nice breaking balls last night and hit the corner with a couple fastballs. And as you said, maybe he got tired toward the end. And I almost would have preferred to see him, you know, get one more batter. But I know that the save rule comes into play there. And, you know, Hand came in and got it closed out very quickly. But I don't see anything wrong with that move. I think it was a smart move on many levels. And if you can get a few games out of Phil Hughes, so much the better.
Yeah. One thing that I think you pointed out, Jay, last time was that while we're all thinking about this guy getting stretched out and maybe being a long man, I don't think he's gone more than an inning this year.
Well, not since his first two starts. He threw those two starts, but those were both in April. So it's been like 5 weeks since he's thrown more than, I think, 21 pitches in a game or something like that. So it's
so
not going to be able
to do
that right away. And the other thing is, as we tease one more thing, the 74th pick in the draft coming up next week, and you and I will do this again on Monday, and I think we should definitely talk about the draft, and I know Jeff Sanders is going to preview it for us over the weekend, and we'll take a look at that, and we'll talk about what we can expect from the Padres in the draft coming up on Monday.
Right. So Jeff will have something in on Sunday's paper and Monday's paper. Of course, those will post online before that. And then the first 74 rounds of the draft. I mean, they call it the first round, and you got the compensation B. Those are all like night one. They're going to make like four picks or something, right?
Well, I hope it's not 74 rounds and it's 74 players. But
just a number in my mind, and I know, was exaggerating.
But yeah, I don't remember exactly. I did a lot of preparation for this podcast, but I did not get to the draft, but I promise I'll do
how
that.
How do you do that, Jay, when you're the sports editor, you've got to, you know, take care of all these things, and then you prepare for the podcast? I mean, you, sir, wow.
And this weekend amazing. Will be even more preparation for the draft. And I'm my only disappointment in this, and we were joking with him the other day in the office, is why does Eddie Brown not have a mock draft for baseball? Where is Eddie Brown's mock draft?
His football stuff, I used to bust him all the time. Like, we were writing on the, you know, back when there was this football team. Of course, I guess we have a new one now.
That's right.
That's going to be huge, I can tell. But we're covering the Chargers. This guy posts a mock draft on the NFL, and it soars to the top of the website. His baseball mock draft would do the same thing.
I know. I got to get on him a little more about that. But anyway, Kevin, we'll look forward to the weekend out at the ballpark with the Reds in town. Remember, it's a later start on Sunday, 3:10, so you can get a couple hours more sleep. Unless you're running in the marathon. I didn't ask you that. Will you be rock and rolling on Sunday morning?
I do a marathon a year. And what I mean by that is I run a total of 26.2 miles in a year.
You cover a baseball beat. That's more than a marathon.
I will talk to you later, Jay.
Sounds great, Kevin.